with the renunciation of the devices, as we just did, there's often a feeling for me that we just stepped one, you know, we did one step further into retreat, that we entered even a little bit more, you know, collectively, as we share this ritual. And it seems like the liminal space opens up, the space of don't know what's going to happen, everything possible, you know. And with this practice of simplicity here, of simplifying, of renouncing, also, as Bibiana mentioned yesterday, the invitation not to read or write. And I just wanted to say a few more words on this, because it might feel like rules and we can't, and authority, and it's the spirit, the idea behind this is a little different. It's really in service of what we're doing here. And so what we're doing here is a live exploration, as it's happening, live exploration of the, I'll put it in this way, mechanism of suffering and mechanism of peace. What leads to well-being? What leads to contraction? What leads to stress? What leads to joy? What leads away from joy? What? So it's a study of this as it's happening, and what we call insight meditation, which is what we're doing here. It's a translation of the term in Pali, as many of you know, vipassana, to see deeply or to understand deeply. To understand deeply what? How trouble gets created in relationships, in one's own psyche, in the world, on this planet. How, the mechanism of trouble, the mechanisms of joy, peace, healing. And the way we do it through insight meditation or vipassana is by close contact with life as it's unfolding. And so it's a practice that is, and we'll get to discover what does that mean for us. Does that make sense? Is that the right way to present it? But it's often presented as a kind of pre-conceptual, more experiential, empirical, phenomenological. So we get to feel it, instead of think about it. And so why we suggest, and it's not a hard rule, why we suggest that it might be a good idea not to write or read, is to not add concepts and stories. So we're exploring healing in a different way. Of course, journaling could be so full of insights and understanding and telling my story of what's happening, how it's unfolding for me, etc. And here we're trying something else. It's good to add the, you know, different views, ways to explore life. And in this version here, we're letting go of that, I'll call it a tendency for now, but it's also a richness, it's many things, but that way of telling a story, thinking about. So we're going to try to reduce this or put value into something else, and we'll find out what this something else is together this week. And so we're trying to move a little bit away from this. So not reading, not adding reading, even not a Dharma. You could say, yeah, but I brought a Dharma book. I brought Charon's book. You know. You know, it's like, yeah, honey, great. And we're going to see if we can actually stay in the field of experience. And then that'll be for you to judge maybe if it's a good idea or not. And we'll ask you maybe to at least not read in public. She's so shameful. Suddenly, oh, okay, never knew. That was shameful to read in public. In this environment here, it's because we want to support each other in staying just with what's happening, not going into storytelling or concepts so much, but staying close to experience again. You know, if it's too much of that, you might judge, you know, decide for yourself, like, actually, I'm in my room, it's 9 o'clock, you know, I've put on my hours, now I'm actually going to dive into Daniel Steele. Get me out of my life, I want somebody else's trouble, you know? And then that'll be your decision, and you have expertise in your needs and wants, and you'll decide for yourself. And the suggestion here is to see what would happen if I don't go there, if I stay with the body breathing, with the what could we discover, you know, how the mechanisms of suffering could be revealed as they will, and the mechanisms, the ways, the pathways, the doorways, the gates to the opening of the heart, to balance, to peace, to joy, yeah. So that's the suggestion here. You know, not that you couldn't, like, jot down a little note here and there, you know, because there's something that you'll want to return to. But even that is interesting to actually see, like, maybe, like, you have an insight as you're walking out, or Pascal says something, you know, it's the Dharma, but through the voice of Pascal, you know, Pascal says something like, oh my God, and you're like, you know, like, it's so great, and if you don't write it down, you might lose it, and then you don't write it down, and you lose it. How amazing is that? That something appeared, like, it was going to solve everything, make sense, or glow, you know, in some way, and then it crumbles. Wow. This is coming really close to this is vipassana. This is experiencing the ephemeral nature of good ideas, of understanding, of clarity. Wow, suddenly it all became so clear, you know, what was it? You said something amazing, or I had this amazing idea, you know, that was going to change my life. And whoops, it vanished. To be there for this is very, very precious. More precious, I think, than writing it down. Because we get to see life and death. We get to experience it. And maybe make peace with that. That's really good practice. That's what we call practice. Practicing being in contact with what arises and vanishes. And so we're that kind of explorers, you know, where we're going to the edge of what has never been tried before, letting go of good ideas. So see how you want to engage with this. And I really want to invite, call on our, you know, on our critical thinking, on our intelligence, on our capacity to see what I want to try, what is good for me, you know. So I'll be making suggestions, and they're probably worth considering, and it's totally okay to discard many of them, you know. They will be discarded naturally because of my capacity to remember. What we care about is the silence, that you don't talk to other yogis, that we really care about. That's not kind of up to you. That's something that we offer each other. There's also in that silence something that you might see. You will see in the culture of being together, you will see happening here and there. Is in this tradition, often as we move about, as we come to the dining hall, we sit and eat. Often what we do is we lower the gaze a little bit. It's a generous act of giving space for the other, so the other doesn't have to put their social mask. You know, so we lower the gaze, and I'm giving you all the space to be with your experience, be it joy, grief, confusion, presence, that you don't have to put on something back for, you know. And this can be triggering, especially if it's a first retreat in this tradition, because you might say, oh, in this other tradition, we actually stop, we bow, we smile, we even have a little exchange, we say hi. It's just another way to go about things, and it has its disadvantages and maybe some richness that you might know for yourself. You're, oh my God, thank you so much for offering this. Or it might be, you know, like, why? Like, it might remind us of the Montreal subway or Toronto subway, you know, in individualistic kind of attitude. I don't care. People are obstacle. They don't really exist. You know, it's the same behavior, but the meaning underneath is quite different. And so it might need some playing with. And you don't have to adhere to this. You know, it's totally okay to look up, but you might encounter, you know, somebody who will look down. I tend to do this. I tend to, yeah, that's how I've been raised in the Dharma. So, others also here. So you'll see this. So just kind of a heads up or contextualizing the culture here. So it's not harshness. The idea would be that it's a gift that we give each other. So see how, you know, how it makes sense or not for you. Totally okay to decide, no, I'd never again, you know. And even that might be a passing idea. You know, might change along the way. Another thing I want to name that might be helpful here, these things that they're like these three things that I'm naming: the not reading, writing, the lowering the gaze, and now the slowing down. They can be blessings sometimes. They're really helpful, and sometimes they can, the disadvantage of these things can show up, you know. And still, there'll be, and I hope that I'll remember to mention it and invite us again to do this. I would like to invite us to slow down. I mean it literally, slow down. And the way we move, as we stand, as we cross the hall here, as we move back to our room, you know, as we move inside our room, you know, as we hold the object, move objects, you know, as we do often in our rooms. To do this a little slower than we usually do, it's to get out of our habitual way to be. So here we want to move from habitual to conscious. So thinking habitually about the habitual stuff in habitual, obsessive or agitated ways. Moving in habitual ways so things are done, you know. So I'm standing up, so I'm up. I'm going to my shoes, so they're on. I'm going out, so I reach the walking place, you know. And here it's a little different. We actually want to use every opportunity to cultivate a quality presence that will, I think, give us access to more sensitivity about what's happening in the world, in relationships, in ourselves. So to gain intelligence, access to information that is around us, you know, if we do things habitually, we don't notice. The attention is superficial. If we slow down a bit, we might actually notice. Things will stand out a bit around us and in the body, where there's a lot of information in the guts, as the expression says, I think, you know, there is information in the guts. And so the slowing down as we walk, move things, it suddenly intelligence appears. You know, as we're serving food and we slow down a bit and we feel, suddenly we gain access to intelligence. Choice appears, you know. Oh, in habitual ways, there's not much choice. It's that the habits make the decisions. And by slowing down a bit, suddenly, you know, things might appear differently. We might feel things we don't notice usually. We might notice the others, you know. Some things when we're in habit, sometimes we don't. Or if we just notice others habitually and we don't notice that we're there too, maybe that's what we'll notice. Oh, I'm here too. I count. You know? So getting out of habits by slowing down. So it's a Burmese-approved technique, slowing down. Beginning, it'll look maybe a little strange, or feel or look strange. It's just, you know, the time maybe it takes to actually get in, because first we're a little outside. How it looks from the outside? Oh, we look like zombies. We're not looking at each other. You know, it's conceptual. It's how it looks. Do you see what I mean? And we're going to slowly get into it and explore how it feels. And so all this, that's why I like to think of a laboratory, because it's not like we want to do this at home, you know, like walk slowly, look down, you know, like but here in this field of research, these are good ways for things to be revealed, for habits of mind, perception, how we perceive things, how we conceive things to be revealed. Maybe like you, I've had the chance to practice with, be a student of Joseph Goldstein. So I might refer to Joseph here and there, Joseph Goldstein, because it's somebody who's been very impactful for me. It's been a mentor, and I like when Joseph. Maybe shares how meditation made sense for him when his teacher Munindraji said to him, "If you want to understand your mind, observe it." And he said, when he heard this simple way of putting it, it made sense to him. So that's how. I'm trying to say, to slow down, to sit, to do what we're doing, so the mechanisms of stress, distress, confusion, greed, hate, how they come to be, So we're studying the mind here. By slowing down and by bringing this quality of attention, of curiosity, of being there. And we'll discover what the mind does. It's going to be revealed. And it's important to understand that we came here for the tendencies of the mind to be revealed. And so we'll lose that, we'll get impatient, like, oh my God, my mind. No. We came here to see how the mind clings to a story or goes back to the, it does what it does, you know, becomes arrogant or self-hating or, you know, and plans obsessively or, you know, becomes self-righteous or all these little things will be revealed. That's why we came here. And so good understanding, this is where we're going anyway, but it's good to name it from the get-go. A good understanding of what's happening here this week as we sit on the chair cushion, lie down, walk, eat. A good understanding is that it's human nature that is revealed. We could think it's about me. It's me, my tendencies, and I'm so agitated, and I'm so arrogant, and I'm so self-deprecating, and I'm so always hooked about the future, and when I'll be back home, and I'm so, you know, it could all refer back to a certain I. It could. It's one view. But it's good to know that it's only this. It's just a take on reality. There is another take that we're studying what happens to minds. What was happening 2,500 years ago to minds in on another continent, in another culture, with another technology, maybe. Yeah. And so what is happening here, what we'll discover, is a little wider than about the self. We could understand it this way, it would be valuable or valid, let's say valid. But what we will be going towards, I think, and that's what wisdom is partly, or in big part, is to discover that this is not so personal. Judgments in the mind, yeah, it can be localized. Sometimes it's there. Oh, no, there. But maybe there. There, you know. But it's something that happens in human nature. To me, that is something that I want to remember when I sit. That's why I'm bringing this here. Oh, I'm starting a period of more intense practice here. We are, you know. It's good to be aware of this. What will be revealed is tendencies of human mind. The beautiful, liberating ones and the entangling ones. And so same thing. If we notice beautiful aspects of the mind, as there will be, joy, flexibility, creativity, patience, benevolence, all these are the public domain. And they could refer back to me. It describes me. It is a view. Can be a very helpful view, especially if we think we're a piece of shit, to notice that there is goodness in there. You know, it can be very helpful. But there's a view also that is possible to see that this happens in the universe. You know, it's universal. It's big. I'm just throwing this out there because it might resonate a lot for you. You might recognize something in there, or it might just be intriguing, and that's good enough. So the view, human nature, will be revealed. And the task is so incredibly simple, is to feel in a conscious way, in a lucid way, just to experience, lucidly experience, to really experience. I don't know what's the good expression here, but it's not that important. We'll find out for ourselves in a felt way. But to actually feel, not the value is not to explain, the value is not to describe, the value is not to think about. The value is to actually experience silence, experience sounds, experience ease, experience dis-ease. That's the task. Incredibly simple, no? To just actually experience beauty of nature, to experience the breeze, to experience the step, to experience the distress, to experience the ease, if that's what's there. So the task, the invitation this week is just that. The view is about human nature. The task is to feel what's happening in the environment, to feel what's happening in the body, or to feel, to discover, to experience what's happening in the mind, heart. We don't have to correct. We don't have to experience something else. We don't have to keep anything. We don't have to get rid of anything. We just have to experience what is there. Shall we play with this a little bit? Okay. And the beauty of the moment, the present moment, is that we can always start again. Because it's funny pie, it's going to be messy. Easier to say than to do, you know, to just feel what you feel, to experience what you experience. And always okay to do this standing up, or to adjust. Of course, we don't want to get fidgety because it's going to be painful for ourselves, but we have to find our way into this. It's probably going to be painful for others also around us. Let's be true, factual here. So we don't want to feel stuck, but we want to be able to choose, maybe. Some stillness. We really have time to find our way into this. We don't have to be good at it. It's our own personal exploration. Maybe some of the first things we'll notice is that in human nature there is embodiment, there is physicality, there is materiality. And there is the human experience, there's human nature, there is embodiment. Means there is pressure, tingling, heat, cold. And just that is plenty to become intimate with. Discovering what it is to be a human being. Being a human being means sensitivity. It's happening now. this body sensitive to the environment. Environment is alive with gravity. To a sensitive body, it keeps pressing, pressing on the lower part of the body. Sensitive body is sensitive to sound, silence. The sensitive body is sensitive to light. Constantly touched by sounds or silence, by light, gravity, temperature. So dynamic. The environment, the body. Taking in air, releasing air. Discovering what it's like to be alive while it's happening, as it's happening. We don't have to feel everything, we just have to notice something, to let something reveal itself, be known, very naturally, as it does. Different different impressions, maybe impressions, sensory impressions coming from the hands, allowing us to discover what we call hands. Ah, a field, an area of tingling, pulsations, or heat radiating, or coolness. Being impressed by the activity of breathing. The expansion that turns into maybe a contraction or a falling of the belly. Here and there, the trance of thinking will take over, the mind, the attention will be kidnapped, by thoughts, a train of thoughts. And there's a possibility to wake up from this, from being under the spell, preoccupied. Waking up from this and noticing embodiment, noticing sensitivity as it's happening. Consciously experiencing the end of the meditation. What's that like when a bell rings, when the eyes open, maybe, when the body moves? Could we stay around and experience this as it's happening? What is happening right now is only happening for a moment, and then something else will happen that will be gone, never again to be repeated in the whole story of the universe. And so giving value to what is happening, discovering what is happening, what it's like to be a human being as it's happening. One day it's not going to be happening. Being a human being will be finished. But right now there is aliveness, there is sensitivity. It's happening. It's worth getting close to, discovering what is that thing that seems so solid and permanent, that is absolutely ephemeral. So what we're doing very slowly, gradually, is we're changing what we give value to. So maybe we see if it's true for you. We give value a lot to our thoughts about things, our description of things. And slowly here we're saying, what if we gave value not to our thoughts about things, but to the actual experience? So we're operating, I don't know if I'm doing this from French, on opère un changement de valeur. So we're operating a change of value here, just to see what wisdom could be gained by doing this. So what would happen if I valued a little bit more the experience rather than my thoughts about it? So see if that's something you can work with. And that's how I understand what we're doing. So it's a different kind of intelligence that we're tapping into. It's not very wordy. Wordy. It has less to say. It's taking in. Yeah. And it might look like nothing, you know, at first sight. You know, it might look like not much. But what if we stay with this? What if we investigate and invest more into this? And so what we'll do now, what we'll be invited to do is do this in movement, just so we don't make an association with that kind of exploration just in stillness or sitting, but with eyes open, moving. And I would suggest, I'm doing a training right now, so you might become the victim of my training. I'm doing a training with Susie Harrington and Mark Coleman and Gil Fransdahl. We're exploring nature dharma. I like the walking invitation from Mark Coleman that you might know a little bit about. So we'll practice the classic walking practice that you, maybe many of you know, of the walking back and forth, either inside or outside on a small distance, maybe 10, 15 pace. And you can very much do this. But what I'd like to suggest this morning as we're arriving here, it might be valuable for the whole retreat, this richness of it, in it, this danger in it. And Mark calls this meandering. And so here it's so beautiful, and because we're arriving, I think the meandering meditation could be good. And what it consists of, in my understanding and view, and you'll discover what it can be for you, but for the next, it'll be, when I'm finished, it'll be maybe 35, 40 minutes. But the invitation maybe is to dress appropriately and go discover a little bit the surrounding, the nature. And it means that you don't have to walk back and forth on the 10, 15 pace, as we often do in the classic form that is so powerful, so powerful. But if you want, it would be just to actually go out and feel the body standing. So, you know, developing, exploring presence, but it's to be here. And, sky, blue, take it in. Experience nature, experience beauty, experience. And then, you know, something will tell you, oh, let's go up these stairs. Oh, let's go left. To go right. And because something will call, you know, like some formation, some agitation, some space. And then you'll just go there. And then, whoops, you'll meet maybe a daffodil. And then you'll just experience this, what it's like to be in contact with yellowness or beauty, however you experience it, you know, or life. And then it'll be more like, oh, crossing an archer. Feels like that. Oops. Jesus on his cross. And then something else will arise in the mind or in the body, you know. You know, or inspiration. You know, and just to notice what it's like to be in the environment. So closeness, presence to environment, presence to body, as it walks up, comes down, touch, roll. Oh, no, no, no. Don't go that far. Why not? Not in the swamp. Or if you want. But, or, you know, suddenly, bridge. What is it like for a body to be on a bridge? To be in contact with water. The breeze, the warmth, the coldness. Another human being. On a bike, with a dog. Known, unknown. You know? A statue. Whatever is there. You know? And just be there. And there'll be a lot of arisings and passing. You know? Movement, stillness, cold, warmth, beauty, confusion, gratitude. And just to experience what you experience. Feel what you feel. Meandering means see where you're led to. You know, you might find yourself in the cedar forest, or in the open field. But stay current. Stay with this experience. And notice the mind. Oh, I should move to Guelph. You know how the mind will, you know, get duped. Taken for a ride in some ways. And the waking up, oh my God, whoops, was, you know, trying to fix the rest of life. And see if it's possible to renounce fixing, figuring out, can we be with the unfigured out? Can we be here with not everything be figured out? And you might take your grief for a walk, you know. How is it to walk in grief if that's what's there for you? You know, how is it to walk with shame if that's what it is there for you? Or with pride, or with gratitude, you know, not demanding for something else, but seeing how can I accommodate the inner landscape as it shows, and the outer landscape as it shows. Does that make some sense? Make it yours. And at some point, you know, either the bell, you'll hear it, or you won't hear it, but we'll come back here. And we'll do that dance of movement, stillness. And if you decide, maybe it'll be more tomorrow that you decide this. The weather will be better, I think, tomorrow. But at some point you might decide that you'll actually stay for the sitting right where you are on that bench outside, which is totally a good choice. So, okay. Bonne pratique. Enjoy. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.